Welcome to the Special Needs Kids Are People Too podcast with Amy Bodkin, EDS. Amy is an autistic adult who also happens to be a school psychologist turned special needs consultant and public speaker. She's also a homeschooling mom to two autistic kiddos, a yoga instructor, a card-carrying Trekkie, and an all-around fun person. And last but not least, Amy is an advocate for seeing every child as a person, not a diagnosis. Because a special needs kid is just like any other child, just more so. Here's Amy Bodkin.
Hi, I'm Amy Bodkin, coming to you from the blanket fort in my office, and welcome to Special Needs Kids Are People Too. Guys, I don't know if you know this yet, but Halloween is coming up soon. My kids have already been talking for months about what kind of a Halloween costume they want to have. And with the talk of Halloween also brings up some sometimes difficult situations for families to navigate. Allergy families especially. Our family is an allergy family. We no longer carry EpiPens, but we used to have to carry EpiPens. And we still have to eat gluten-free for celiac disease. Celiac disease is basically an autoimmune condition. It's different from an allergy. Specifically, you can be allergic to wheat and not be celiac. Celiac is a reaction to gluten, so it's not just wheat. It's other things that contain gluten. So it's not the same as having an allergy, but it kind of puts you in the same camp as a lot of allergic families because it is medically necessary for you to avoid those foods or their extreme consequences. I believe I once read that every time someone with celiac disease gets a bite of gluten, their chance of developing stomach cancer in life goes up 300%. And that's each time. So celiac disease, food allergies, all of those kinds of things can really make holidays that involve food very difficult. And, you know, kids love candy and dressing up. So that holiday especially, there have been times where I have been so angry that Halloween was coming because I didn't want to have to deal with it. There was one point where I think we had maybe one candy because celiac had caused so much damage to our immune systems. But then I found out about the Teal Pumpkin Project, and that was a game changer for us. In case you don't know about it, the Teal Pumpkin Project is where adults get teal pumpkins, put them outside their home, and very often sign their house up on a website with a map. And then parents who have kids who need non-food type treats for Halloween, whether it's due to an allergy, celiac disease, maybe the child just doesn't eat, they can look at this map and find families in their area who are providing non-food treats on Halloween and go to those houses to trick-or-treat, which is really awesome because it's adults standing up and saying, hey, I want to make this an accessible holiday for your child. I want to support you. I want to be someone who's providing acceptance. And that's an amazing thing. I have loved the Teal Pumpkin Project ever since I first heard about it. Now, that said, I also wanted to make you aware of a new colored pumpkin that has been being pushed recently called the Blue Pumpkin. I really honestly don't love the Blue Pumpkin as much as I love the Teal Pumpkin. And it's not because of some kind of, you know, Sleeping Beauty, make it blue, make it pink kind of thing. It actually goes much deeper than that. And I feel like in a lot of ways, the Blue Pumpkin ends up really risking children's safety because it requires them to identify themselves as being autistic. Unlike the Teal Pumpkin Project, the Blue Pumpkins are where people buy blue pumpkins for their children to carry. And they carry these pumpkins around so that people will know Okay, if they don't say trick-or-treat, then I should still be nice to them. Newsflash, guys. You should be nice to every person who comes to your door. That's just being a nice person. Whether they say trick-or-treat or not. And while we're on the subject, let's go ahead and talk about older kids and adults. If somebody has gone to the trouble to get up in a costume and come to your door and say trick-or-treat, give them a piece of candy and be nice about it. there are so many other things that people could be out there doing, and it's not just about kids. It's about all of us coming together, having community, having a good time. And I don't know, if we can retain some of the joy of childhood as we get older, I think that's really good for us, mental health-wise. So, be a nice person. Answer the door. Hand out a treat to whoever's there. But the Blue Pumpkin I don't even know that it's called the Blue Pumpkin Project, but the Blue Pumpkins kind of were came up with so that it would be a sign to people when you go to the door, hey, this kid has, you know, a disability, or this kid is autistic, or whatever. Be nice to them. Which is ridiculous, because you shouldn't have to say, hey, I have a disability, or I'm autistic, or whatever you're announcing to the world, to get people to be nice to you. That's ridiculous. They should be nice to you anyways. And I know that's not always the case. And that's really pretty crappy. You know, people shouldn't have to have that experience. And quite honestly, I think it says a lot about us as adults in our society. But you know what? We're not going to get real down on adults and our society and the people who do that. Instead, I'd like to shift our conversation a bit so that we're talking about what can we do to make a difference. And what you can do to make a difference is exactly what the Teal Pumpkin Project does every year. The Teal Pumpkin Project says, hey, I'm an adult. I'm going to announce to you that I'm someone who cares. And I'm going to try and make my house an accessible place for children. When my children were smaller, you know, we were going around with language delays and motor delays, as well as allergies. And when the Teal Pumpkin Project started, I learned very quickly that those were the homes that I could take my kids to, and people were going to be nice. And so I think the Teal Pumpkin Project is a wonderful thing, and I would love to see it expanded so that more families put out a teal pumpkin and say, hey, you know what? We're going to make this more accessible for kids who have food allergies. We're going to make this more accessible for kids who need non-food treats. And you know what? We're going to make sure that you know that we're a place that accepts children where they're at and cares. So even though the Teal Pumpkin Project is focused primarily on allergies and providing non-food treats, I think that what they do is actually a lot bigger than that. They offer acceptance. And I think that that is worthwhile. And I think it's totally different than what the Blue Pumpkin represents. The Blue Pumpkin is asking a child to self-identify. It is basically making a child who's already vulnerable identifiable to strangers who could take advantage of that vulnerability. And that's a completely different thing from what the Teal Pumpkin offers. Aside from that, the Blue Pumpkin allows you to identify other people just like you, but it does not identify for you people who are accepting, people who care. The Teal Pumpkin Project doesn't identify other children with food allergies. That'd be dangerous. If you know a kid has a food allergy, you can pretty much bet odds are the child has a peanut allergy, because it's one of the most common ones. So, you know, slip something with peanuts into their bucket. That'd be a great way to cause harm. And that's not a good thing, though. Just in case we were unclear on that point. But identifying food allergy kids by having them carry around a teal pumpkin is a very dangerous idea. And the same goes with a blue pumpkin. We don't need children having to self-identify themselves so that people will be nice to them. We need adults stepping up and saying, hey, come see me. I like kids. I like all people. I treat all people with the same respect that I would want to be treated. And that's what I really love about the Teal Pumpkin Project. In a lot of ways, it reminds me of some of the things Mr. Rogers used to say. I am a kid who grew up on Mr. Rogers. When my kids got older, I would have them watch Mr. Rogers every day for school for what we called social skills. Because if you're going to learn how to be a nice person in this world, the best way to learn that, in my opinion, is by sitting down and watching Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers once said, "You've made this day a special day by just being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are." And isn't that the key? We want to meet people who will like us just the way we are. Those are the people we want to be around. Those are the people we want our kids to be around. And it is just that simple. People can like you just the way you are. And if they don't like you just the way you are, they are not worth your time. And they are not worth your kids' time. People have to like you for the person that you are. And now for a word from our sponsors. Hey guys, this is Amy from amybodkin.com. I wanted to let you know that we're starting a new type of episode on the podcast called Dear Amy. We would love for you to submit the questions you have about homeschooling and life in general with special needs to amybodkin.com/dear-amy. I'm looking forward to discussing some of the topics that are important in your life. So, as Halloween is coming up, I highly suggest getting a teal pumpkin, signing up on the Teal Pumpkin Project so that other people will know where your house is. And I mean, hey, you could put an entire rainbow of pumpkins outside your house. I really don't care what color it is. It's just so long as people get the idea, oh, okay, you're going to be nice to me. You're going to, you know, be able to meet me where I'm at. That's such a wonderful gift to be able to put out into the world. Such a positive amount of energy. Be the person that Mr. Rogers always knew you could be. Show the same kind of care and compassion that he showed through his television show. I love all the stories I've read about kids who've grown up watching Mr. Rogers and what he meant to them. It's amazing that somebody who made a TV show 40 years ago, or longer actually, is still being talked about and is still thought of as a lot of adults' best friend. He did amazing things with that show. I remember there was a story about a girl who was blind. And she wrote him a letter asking if he always feeds his fish, because he's mentioned it before in the show, but he doesn't mention it every single time. And he realized that she couldn't see what he was doing. So after that, every single time he fed his fish, he made a point of saying, "And I'm feeding the fish," so that she would know. He also did a lot of other important things, but he did them in a way that was very non-pushy. But he made his point, and it was in a kind and gentle way. There was one episode where he was talking with a boy who was in a wheelchair, and they were talking about how he uses his wheelchair to get around, and just the way that he spoke to him, he humanized their interaction. Which is sad, because you'd think it would always be humanized, but the sad truth of the matter is that it's not. Just like I was mentioning earlier about Halloween and how, you know, a child might go to the door and can't say trick or treat, and then people will be like, "Sorry, you can't have a treat because you didn't say it." Or, "You're too old to trick or treat, go away." there is no right or wrong age to get to any type of developmental level. And quite honestly, we'd probably all be a lot happier people if we all trick-or-treated as adults and went around. Actually, there's some houses where they offer treats for parents as they come by. But Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. He also, there was one summer where there was a lot of talk about needing segregated swimming pools. And he invited his African-American postman on the show to come sit his feet in a wading pool with him. And he wasn't saying what was going on, just, you know, see, we're sharing. We're, you know, we're a lot alike. We both have hot feet. And he was just sharing and showing other people how you can accept people just the way they are. And so, if you grew up watching the show, which not everybody did, but if you grew up watching the show, I think one of the things that can, you know, pass on that legacy that Mr. Rogers gave to so many people, and that still is given through Daniel Tiger's neighborhood in a lot of ways, is by choosing to accept people where they are. To say, yes, I can like you just the way you are. What a wonderful gift. So everybody, go sign up for the Teal Pumpkin Project. Go find non-food treats. There's all kinds of wonderful non-food treats. Glow bracelets, bouncy balls, erasers, cool pencils. Oriental Trader usually has a ton of stuff that you can order online that's pretty inexpensive. There's so many cool things. I have, when I was desperate, given out spare pennies that I had rolled up in the house because I had forgotten to get non-food treats, and people ran out to the street and started saying, "They're giving away money!" It was one of the most popular treats, and it only cost me a few dollars. So there's all kinds of creative options you can come up with of ways of telling kids that you're special and we like you just the way you are. So let's be the adults Mr. Rogers knew that we could be. And I'll see you guys next time.
We hope you had fun listening to today's episode and gained some new insights into the wonderful variety of people in our world. You can find out more about Amy's advocacy work at amybodkin.com. And remember, special needs kids are people too.